Little thing by Vaughn Monroe, who's celebrating a birthday today, or would be if he were still alive. It's called Racing with the Moon, 17 minutes after 10 o'clock on a rock and roll Monday morning. And I have studio guests in the studio this morning, Ron Skipper and Catherine Cuddy from the South Carolina Historical Aviation Foundation. Ron, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good, good. Now, the thing that really comes near and dear to my heart, and one of the reasons I joined the association or the foundation myself, is the B-25, which is, I know that you and Catherine are working. I see Catherine out there sweating every time I go out to the studio or out to the hangar out there at Owens Field. But we have an opportunity for the public to see this B-25 coming up this weekend, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have our open house this Saturday, and usually it's the second Saturday of each month. If you check our website, you'll see if there's any changes, but that's usually when we are.
Yep. So, and we do keep that information up as soon as we know. So, and Catherine is one of the drivers behind the website over there. So we're glad to have her help out with all that. So the B-25, kind of give us a little bit of the history of that thing.
It's a B-25C model. There's only six C models still in existence in the world today, and this one was built in California. It was flown here to what was Columbia Army Air Base in 1942, and trained here for about a year or so before it was moved up to Greenville, Greenville Army Air Base.
During the period of time in 42 when it was here, was it part of the training fleet for the Doolittle Raiders or not?
Not actually, no. Not. They were training on B models, which was a model before ours, and it could have been around shortly after that, but not during that immediate time.
And the day it crashed, was that actually the day of the raid?
That was June 6, 1944. Was the D-Day invasion.
Oh, the D-Day invasion. Okay.
Yes, and it was on a training mission up in the upstate.
Yeah, and it crashed into Lake Greenwood.
Lake Greenwood, yes. Yeah.
And it was on a low pass over the lake, I understand, when it,
right.
when it the dipped a prop into the water and then...
Correct. The instructor had them doing some emergency procedures during the course of the day, and they kind of finished up that, still had some time. And he said, well, let me show you what you're going to be doing in the South Pacific, because that's where the war was at the time, pretty heavy for this type of aircraft. And he said, take it low over this lake, which was Lake Greenwood. And the student pilot did. And the instructor, being an instructor, I guess, says, no, that's not quite, you know, let me take control of the craft and I'll show you. So he took it over the lake so low that he actually caught the props in the water.
As a pilot myself and a flight instructor, I can tell you that judging surf off the surface of the water is very difficult, which is why most airline pilots hate approaches that are coming in over water, like the one at Washington National when you're coming up from the south. Airline pilots hate that because of the visual miscues the water gives you.
The student pilot was Dan Rossman at the time, and he was in the left seat, and he survived the crash, and he survived the war, 58 missions in South Pacific as well. And he personally told us how the crash occurred that day, and he noted that when they were going down over the lake with the instructor at the controls, he says, I looked to my left, and I could see eye to eye with a fisherman standing in the boat. He says, I knew we were in trouble at that point.
Now, you know, that's kind of interesting because the cockpit of a B-25 sits above the wing, and the wing, I can walk underneath the wing of our B-25.
Yes.
So that's low.
That's low.
I guess so it actually went into the... I was interested to know about the actual reason they were flying that low, because I know that during the Second World War, I had a friend of one of my flight students who was getting recertified to fly, was actually a bomber pilot in Europe in the Second World War. And I forget what he's flying. It might have been 24s, but they were doing skip bombing into bridges and dams. So they would fly in low over the lake or a river or something like that and drop the bombs and let it skip into the side because it was more accurate than dropping from overhead. So
yes, that was a common practice later in the war, and the B-25 was used for that as well.
Yeah, as agile as a B-25 is, I can imagine it would be.
The B-25 was almost our predecessor to what we have today, the A-10 Warthog, because they used it for close air support and equipped with a lot of machine guns on the front and on the sides of it, and were able to fire rockets from the wings and drop bombs from the wings as well.
And, of course, the B-25B was the airplane that was used by Jimmy Doolittle.
That's correct.
In Doolittle's raid. And just in case you're curious about that, out of the Columbia Metropolitan Airport, there is a display of what the airfield was like during the time that the B-25 Mitchell Raiders were actually based here in Columbia. So again, the open house is coming up this Saturday from 10 until 1?
10 till 1,
And that's going to be over at Owens Field. Now, the hangar, are you going to pull the plane out of the hangar, or is it going to be in the hangar?
The B-25 will be in the hangar.
In the hangar. Yes. You also have some other aircraft out there we should mention.
Yes, we have good friends up in Canada with the Canadian Warplane Heritage Museum, who has given us an aircraft, a 1940 Yale 64, which was built in by North American Aviation, same manufacturer of the B-25. And it was used in Canada as a trainer for the Canadian forces during World War II.
Have they made the swap out yet?
No, we haven't.
So the wing is still disattached, or the wings are still disattached.
The aircraft is disassembled. It's still a great-looking aircraft disassembled.
Yeah.
But it is actually probably leaving this week. And they are replacing it with another aircraft, which is almost identical.
Yeah. So they're bringing the other aircraft down here on a trailer and then hauling the one they have down here back up.
That's correct.
So, okay.
And we don't think we'll have to do this again. So this aircraft that we will have maybe here by Saturday will be the one that will be on display here.
Now, one thing I do want to mention, because I know one of the things that's in the back of folks' mind is the B-17 crash a couple of weeks ago. This B-25 is never going to fly again.
No, this won't. It's it spent 39 years in Lake Greenwood, which, as I say, has spent more time underwater than most submarines. But because of that, it compromised the airframe with corrosion, and it cannot fly.
What was that old Submariner statement? There's more airplane underwater than there are submarines in the air.
That's correct.
Yeah, but I've seen, I've touched, I've been inside this aircraft, and it's amazing the jobs you guys have done. I know, Catherine, you're out there every week working on this airplane, and it looks like it's fresh off the factory line almost. I mean, you guys have been working very hard and putting a lot of hours into it. So if somebody wants to get involved with us and help us out with all this, how do they get in touch with you guys?
We have our website is South Carolina. If you look us up on the website, it's South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation. And we have our website, schistoricaviation.org. And there's a link on there that you can join the foundation. We're a 501c. So everything that we get in is through donations. So there's a form out there you can fill out. And you can also come out to one of our open houses. We have a lot of people that come out there and look around. And once you see it and you start working on it, she becomes your baby.
And, that's right.
So we've completely restored the cockpit back to what it would look like when it flew. We've got all original World War II instruments, the seats, the cockpit is exactly as it would have looked. And right now we're working on the bombardier section and the navigator section, working on restoring those.
So I posted pictures a few months ago of the inside of that cockpit on my Facebook page. So you go back in my timeline and troll back a little bit, you'll find it out there.
Yeah.
I did notice one thing about that. I wanted to ask you about this. The pilots and the co-pilots' sticks are upside down, or one or the other is. The pilot's right side up and the co-pilot's upside down. One's facing up and the other's facing down. Not anymore?
No, that was just because of a disconnect, mechanical disconnect with the, because of the years it's been underwater, there's a connection there. That was just somebody inadvertently turned it over.
Oh, and then I got a picture of it for posterity upside down. Thank you guys for coming by, and thank you for all the work you're doing on this airplane. I mean, the B-25 is one of my favorite bombers. As a kid, and we had these plastic models, one of the first ones I ever had as a kid was a B-25.
Okay. And thank you for having us here. And just so people know, you don't have to have any experience working on airplanes. We all come from different backgrounds and different skills. So if you're interested, just come on out and visit us. And these guys will teach you everything you know. I didn't know anything at all about working on planes, and they've taught me everything.
So you don't have to have your A&E to work on this airplane.
No, since this won't fly, anybody can work on it.
I tell you, one thing that brought back memories for me was running my hand along the side of the airplane and running into a Cleco. And everybody says, what the heck is a Cleco? It's like a safety pin, if you will, for an airplane. While they're putting it together, you kind of hold the sheet metal parts together until you get the rivets in. So, so I have Clecos. Not too many people will know about Clecos, will they?
One last thing I'll say is what we're trying to do is preserve and record the history of aviation in South Carolina. And with this foundation, we're trying to establish a aviation museum for South Carolina, which there is not one, prosperity, the future of aviation in South Carolina, so people will know. We like to do training with young people and tell them about aviation in South Carolina, civilian and military aviation.
Very good. So it is. I think it's a worthwhile cause, and if you're at all interested in aviation, it's a good thing to get invested in here as a part of South Carolina's history, aviation history, and plus it's just a cool thing to be involved with. So thanks very much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Trust me, my pleasure. It was very good.
The Backbeat Show. That's right, 29 minutes after 10.